Sunday Night Fallout with your hosts, Double L, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and T-Rock Plutonium. And now, it's time for Fallout.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you very much. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and thank you again for joining us. Let's go right to the phone line. Hollywood, I'm sorry. T-Rock Plutonium from Denver, live from the Pepsi Center. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm watching a couple of matches. Beat up Roman Reigns.
And T-Rock.
Deep sick.
T-Rock, I'm ahead of T-Rock again. And it seems like there's the finish. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining me today, give it up for Christian. How the hell are you doing, man?
Good, man. Another disappointing Raw tonight. What else is new?
Oh, come on. The show's not even over. How can you say it's disappointing? Get out of here.
Well, man, I spent three hours watching this.
Let's go back to T-Rock Plutonium, who is live at the Pepsi Center.
I called the AOP, by the way, early on in the show.
I'm sure you did.
So AOP's down on the outside with the midget. Seth Rollins kicks the guy in the face. Let's get Dean Ambrose in there. The crowd is going wild.
With AOP?
Dean! Kick his ass.
Live reaction.
Right there. You hear that?
I did. Live reaction there from T-Rock Plutonium at the Pepsi Center. Live.
For Dean Ambrose.
And also,
for Dean
joining,
Ambrose.
Also joining us today, Double L. Double Loverboy.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? I mean, this is just in my backyard, and I couldn't go to it, so I'm watching the overrun here. Curious to see how this wraps up.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I'm ahead of T-Rock, who is live at the event.
How the hell is that
impossible? That's the big story here tonight. That's the story tonight. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. So we're watching here is the maitre d', Baron Corbin, and Dean Ambrose. The seeds were planted tonight. All kinds of seeds were planted tonight. But we will get into that in a little while, unless if something big happens here. And, of course, you can hear Nicholas in the background, who's having a blast.
Yes, he's enjoying himself. I still don't know how Baron Corbin can wrestle in that outfit. But the cameraman just got kicked. And now... Oh, neckbreaker. It's good stuff. Here we go.
Uh-oh. T-Rock ahead of us by, let's see, he is ahead of me by about, I still haven't seen that neckbreaker.
I don't know where you're at.
Dean Ambrose just went to the top. The Mexicans just jumped down on him.
Yeah, man.
It's raining Mexicans in the Pepsi Center.
Superman punch.
Oh. And there it is. Oh, man.
There goes the Green Giant.
Who's ahead of who?
That deserves a mute.
Oh,
Seth Rollins. The Maitre D and Dean Ambrose. Oh, Dean Ambrose.
Pretty good, baby.
And we are
of course, Roman Reigns has
to be
the one to end it.
Yeah, fuckboy Reigns.
There it is, Roman Reigns in the end. We're setting up for the finisher right
there.
Oh, there it is. Spear. Spear.
Yeah.
Spear. One, two, three. Whoa. And of course, it had to be the big dog.
Yay,
of course, it had to
Reigns.
Be the big dog. There you have it. Instant reaction from T-Rock to Tony at the event.
Instant reaction. There's a standoff and a race to the parking lot. That's what I'm going to stand up here.
A standoff. Race to the parking lot.
Instant reaction. Nia Jax was over. The Bellas are god-awfully over. And I don't know what.
Loudest pop of the night. Who has
Jesus.
The loudest pop of the night?
Who has the loudest pop of the night? Rock on the video package.
A video package. As Dean Ambrose contemplates his future. Dean Ambrose contemplating his future.
I know, this is wild.
Yeah,
you know,
Dean Ambrose is contemplating his future right now. Who does he go with? This is like that Seinfeld moment with Elaine.
And he's back in the ring with the Shield.
As it should be.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sow those kind of seeds of discontent so harshly and push it so much. Because we know there's a tag team match coming up next weekend in Australia. You know, I mean, you can't do it too much. But that
was interesting. Can't tease it too much. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
If they're
going to
do something like that, it's got to be a slow burn. It has to be a slow burn.
And it will be a slow burn. The seeds are there. It's already been planted. All right, we'll do. So let's do that. T-Rock is on his way out to his car, and we are at Kentucky Fried Chicken 10-Piece Chicken Feast. And welcome to Monday Night Fallout. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and here we are again. Welcome to the show. Let's get to it, man. Let's see. We started out tonight with the promo from Dean Ambrose is telling Seth Rollins about it. Wait a minute. Oh, I said the Tina. What am I doing? I'm doing this in a totally different format. But anyway, what happened in the promo was there was a bunch of back and forth going on, and I wrote on here that this promo will be very telling later down the road. When Dean Ambrose is telling Roman and Seth about it later when he turns on them. But then, next thing you know, Dolph Ziggler came out and planted all kinds of crazy seeds, and everything got turned around. He turned the tables when his portion of the promo came up, and it gave Ambrose a bit of an incentive to leave the Shield, if you will. And so here we are at the end of the evening, and that did not happen. Let's go to Double L. Double L, your thoughts on the opening promo, and of course, you were just commenting on that. There's no way they can, I mean, they can tease it, but they can't go all out just yet, can they?
No. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I mean, we all called it as soon as Dean came back that at some point he's going to turn on the Shield to get an IC title champ, you know, match or something like that, right? I felt like I see what they're trying to do, but they just really pushed it a little too hard tonight. I mean, having the having the promo at the beginning is one thing, but then constantly throughout the night, there's more. It's like, guys, okay, you sowed the seeds, now leave it be. Because then you can come back next week after Super Showdown, have something happen at the pay-per-view in Australia, sow a few more seeds, get that slow burn going. But they pushed it so hard today. It's like they didn't know what else to do. I don't know. It's like trying to, you know, go through labor pains when they really just wanted the baby. It's like, no, you got to go through the labor pains before you get the baby. So we're at the beginning of the labor pains. The contractions just started. Slow it down. So, I mean, I like what they're doing, but just they needed to slow it down a bit.
And so that was, they were talking about how much the titles change your life. Christian, do the titles in fact change your life? Because, you know, that's what, Ziggler was trying to point out there. Oh, no, wait a minute. The guy that was saying that the titles change your life is Roman Reigns. He was saying that. But then Ziggler came out and added some more to it. What were your thoughts on this opening promo, Christian? I know you've been critical of the show. You were critical of the show as soon as you called in. But what were your thoughts on the opening promo?
I thought it was forced. Like, they're really forcing this whole Shield reunion crap. It's just the whole stunt to turn Dean Ambrose heel. And if you're going to change... And I agree with Double L. They're just pushing. They're putting too much eggs in one basket. If I was booking it, I would book it like this. Have Dean Ambrose return, thinking that he's improved in the ring and have him think he's improved character-wise. But after he gets beat down, losing match after match, he's starting to think that, oh, my God, nothing has changed. I'm still losing. I'm still fucking weak. And that's when he starts blaming his Shield brothers because he's going to say, you guys are holding me back. You guys have been holding me back since day one. I think that's how they should be booking the heel turn, not this whole fucking whispering rumors like, you're better than them. It's like the same thing with Roddy Piper. Remember when Roddy Piper was saying to Roman Reigns, they couldn't beat Seth Rollins, they couldn't beat CM Punk. But you could beat CM Punk. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's not how you turn a person heel, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's get to T-Rock, who was there live. See if he can hear us on this. T-Rock,
what are your
thoughts on that opening promo?
All right. Well, a couple things. First of all, the Shield was heavily cheered, except from when Roman Reigns got on the mic, and then he was booed.
Yes.
Towards the end, it wasn't nearly as bad. Dean Ambrose, you could tell he looked like he was angry because he was in the middle of the two of them. And I kind of saw what they were doing with the promo.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's it for me. So put me on mute again.
What he was doing with the promo, okay. Yeah, well, you know, they were doing something there with the promo, and then Reigns telling them to shut up because the people didn't want to watch them bump their gums. They paid to see the Shield whip their asses, so let's do it. And, of course, the microphones were thrown down. But Corbin intervened and said that was not going to happen, this and that, and that was that. So then we went to commercial break, but let's see. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler is going to defend tonight against the Revival. And this, you know, the way this went down, in case you don't remember, is the Revival was going to challenge the B team for the championship a few weeks ago. And then next thing you know, they got jumped by McIntyre and Ziggler. And, you know, that was that. McIntyre and Ziggler got thrown into the match with the B team. Championships are there, so it's a big feud, right? So that's coming up next is what they were selling. Jinder Mahal with Sunil Singh and Alicia Fox versus Finn Balor and Bayley. Now, this happened very quick for me, guys. And I got to tell you, man, it was really strange for me because I didn't realize that Mahal had Alicia Fox there. I don't know how the hell that happened and how it happened that Bayley was with Finn Balor. I must have missed it, because next thing you know, I see them out there in the ring. I'm like, where the fuck did these cheerleaders come from? I mean, I know Mayhall has Sunil Singh all the time with them, but, you know, where did freaking Foxy come from? I didn't understand what was going on. I must have missed it. One of you guys is going to have to fill me in on that. But the winner on this was Finn Balor. But that's not, it wasn't over yet. He went on to beat down Sunil Singh a little bit with Foxy egging him on. And I thought the scene was interesting. But what the hell was Alicia Fox doing with the Maharaja?
Okay.
Double L?
So, yeah, no, it's for the Mixing Match Challenge. Bayley and Finn Balor are partners, and Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox are partners. And that is the only reason why, that's the only reason why this whole match happened, was to bump the Mixing Match Challenge. Because they've dropped Finn Balor so much into absolute obscurity that Mixed Match Challenge is all
he's
he has.
He's become nothing more than an entrance, man.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody gives a damn about Jinder Mahal anymore, or never really did. So this was all just an attempt to promote the Mixed Match Challenge. Nothing more, nothing less. Jinder is just such shit in the ring. I cannot believe he is still employed, because he is so bad in the ring. Especially against somebody like Finn Balor, who's used to wrestling guys like Seth Rollins, you know, the current IC champion. So that's all it was. You know, the beatdown at the end, obviously they're going to try to push some sort of character run for Jinder Mahal, which is absolutely fucking terrifying, because he does not belong on Raw anymore. But that's really all this match was all about. Really nothing more.
Let's go to T-Rock, who's in his car right now. And what about the pop for Finn Balor? How was that?
It was pretty good. Funny enough, though, the pop for Bayley was probably louder, but everybody was doing the Finn Balor thing. Yeah, and I agree with you, because hey, I didn't even know Foxy was out there either, and I'm, like, literally in the arena. And I was like, what the hell is Alicia Fox doing there? And the only interesting part of that match was the end when he beat up the Singh brother, and now they're friends again. So, I mean, I would have liked to have seen that just straight up heel turn. Jinder was getting a lot of boos, though, so that's a really good thing, I suppose. But yeah, I think Bayley got a bigger pop than Finn Balor. I mean, he was still good. At the end, everybody was doing the Finn thing. They were doing the
yeah, and I'll tell you what, man. If I was in Sunil Singh's shoes, they would be
fuck
like,
"Fuck this shit, I'm out." Fuck this shit, I'm out.
I gotta go, man. I ain't got time for that shit, man. Christian, Finn Balor, man. I gotta go. No, for real, man. I gotta go, man. Finn Balor with Bayley out there antagonizing Alicia Fox and getting over, so to speak. Your thoughts?
Let me ask Double L a question. Two questions.
Uh-oh.
One, Finn Balor became a chump? And two, when was the last time Finn Balor won with his own finishing move?
I don't.
Has Finn Balor become a chump? Yes. He's been forced to become a chump. And when was the last time he won? Did you say he won a championship or just won a match with his finishing
move? No, when was the last time he won any match with his finishing move? Because all this guy's been doing is winning by roll-ups, and that makes him the ultimate chump.
Yep.
And that is how he won tonight. He won by a freaking roll-up. And that, does that make him a chump, though?
Yes, it does.
Double L.
Because one,
yeah,
double O.
It makes for chump because he's going for the easy win instead of entertaining the crowds and doing his finishing move. I mean, we watch wrestling for the fucking finishing moves. Come on, let's be real. I mean, when somebody wins and their finishing move sucks, what's the first thing we say? God, that finish sucked. Come on. But yeah, he's been winning, and so Christian's absolutely right. Chump, which sucks. He deserves better than that.
I guess the roll-up is his new finishing move, I guess.
It could be.
Apparently.
It could be, I mean, apparently. So next up, we had Natalya come out with the car models. the Bella Twins, that is, versus the Riott Squad. And here was the – it was what was weird on this, man, was the very end when freaking Michael Cole said that what's the chick, the blonde one, Liv Morgan, had been taken to the back. And she was clearly right there outside the freaking ring. I was like, what the hell is this guy smoking? But then I thought, well,
right.
I just couldn't see her. No, but they had to have changed the script because how the fuck did he not see them come and take her to the back is what I'm saying. He said that they took her to the back, and she was right there on the side of the ring at the very end of the match. I didn't understand why they said that. But needless to say, what happened on this match, I do have some notes that I took on this match. And, yeah, I said, of course, they showed the footage of the car models. The pet cat, Natalia, ate the pen. She had Sarah Logan in the sharpshooter, but then Ruby Riott kicked her in the face. The pet cat went down for the 1-2-3. Josh, double L, your thoughts on the Bellas, who were looking lovely out there tonight, though. They were looking lovely.
They were indeed. But so this was a weird match because during the yes kicks that Brie was giving Liv Morgan, you saw Liv Morgan didn't – it's almost like – Brie did one extra kick, or Liv Morgan didn't realize that one more was coming,
yeah.
So she put her head down and took a last kick straight to the face. And so it was not scripted. And so you could see Brie Bella jump right on top of her, hair covering.
The concern on Brie Bella, absolutely.
Yeah. Liv Morgan couldn't even push Brie Bella into the corner of the ring to get tagged out. The camera's right there. You could hear Brie Bella say, get her out of the ring now. You've got to get her out of the ring. And that's when Sarah Logan, yeah, you saw her pull her out. But, you know, Liv Morgan, she had a part to play in the match. They had to do that triple suplex. But it was funny. You could tell she was completely out of it. She was – and so I think what happened is Cole probably realized, oh, shit, she's gotten hurt. They're going to take her to the back. And wasn't watching the fact that she was still there. But the rest of the match just became a real clusterfuck. Like, they didn't – it's almost like they didn't rehearse what plan B was. You know what I mean?
Very
because
awkward.
Because the Bellas – yeah, it was the rest of the match was really, really awkward. And it was because of that. And you totally felt for them, and you could see it in all of their faces. You know, and even at the end, the camera wouldn't watch the Riott Squad walk up the ramp because Michael Cole said that Liv Morgan was in the back already. The whole 20 minutes was just really weird. Really, really weird. And I feel bad, you know, for all of them because, I mean, shit like that happens. And Liv Morgan, that beautiful little feisty face of hers, you know, I hope it's nothing too serious.
I hope not either. Dear God, let's light the candle, please, for Liv Morgan.
Amen.
Let's see. Yeah, amen, for sure. Christian, your thoughts on Liv Morgan taking that boot to the face, man, and, you know, is she going to be all right? What do you think?
She's going to be fine. But guess what, Double L? You were right. It was Plan B. Because originally, tonight's scheduled match was only supposed to be Brie Bella versus Ruby Riott. It wasn't supposed to be a six-woman tag match tonight. But apparently plans changed.
Yeah, wondering why all of a sudden Natalya is coming out with the Bella Twins. I'm like, but yeah, you're right. They booked it as just a singles match. So I didn't really care a whole lot either way. It was always nice to see
I knew why they changed it, because Brie Bella would have lost again.
Oh, good point. They got to set up
Brie Bella.
Because for some reason, Brie Bella is for putting over wrestlers, but Nikki Bella isn't.
I don't know. I mean, her husband's on SmackDown, so I think she's only on Raw temporarily until the pay-per-view happens, so she can go back to SmackDown and be.
Brie Bella is a star who is considered a free agent, along with the likes of John Cena, Kane, and a couple of others. I just read that 2 or 3 days ago on Wikipedia.
Can I hop in? Minister?
Yes, please. T-Rock, please.
All right, so a couple things. First of all, the Bella Twins, the reason why they are so featured is because they are over. Like,
they're on their way to becoming billionaires. As Renee Young was saying.
Yeah, and it's noticeable. Hello?
Yeah, are you with us?
You're breaking up there, T-Rock.
I'm breaking up? Why?
Man, he's
can you hear me
great
now?
On my end.
Yeah, now we got you.
Perfect.
Anyway, the Bellas are good. The Bellas are over, and your thing about what's her bucket? She did disappear, and when at the end of the match they went through the crowd, why where they usually go through the barricade, the three of them left carrying the girl. So they didn't go up the ramp, but she was definitely there, and it was very noticeable. Even everybody in my section was like, "Where did the blonde bimbo go?" And you know what? What's going on? So it was very noticeable that she was absent for the end part of the match, and they didn't leave off the ramp. They left up the in through the crowd, I guess.
Oh,
so, yeah.
They had Natalya and the Bella Twins looking up the ramp, you know, like all the defeated people do. You know, whatever, we're going to get you. They actually filmed them looking up the ramp. That was weird.
Yes.
Yeah, and they weren't, but they didn't leave up the ramp. So, but there's a lot of stuff. If you've ever been to a Raw, and we saw it tonight, I saw it tonight actually. Like, what happens is they play the intro music, right? And then when they go to break, they stop the intro music, and the wrestlers just stand in the ring in the darkness until they come back
from
break, and then their music starts up. Yeah, and then their music starts up again, and then they act like, you know, the music has been going through the entire break. And that happened a lot tonight. But, yeah, so Natalya is also very over. So all three of those girls, the Riot Squad, silence. And I tried to get a Beaky Sucks chant going on, but nobody was having it. And I was really loud, too. I was like, because I was right next to the camera, I'm surprised nobody really heard it. I was shouting, Beaky Sucks, Beaky Sucks, Beaky Sucks.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back and listen for that. I really am. I'm going to go back and listen for that because let me tell you something. I couldn't hear it, but I know you said it. And because
it was right when she first came in the ring, the first time she came in the ring, I started, and there was silence, I started the Beaky Sucks chant. And we'll talk about the other bits of silence, but Riot Squad, it was silent. When they came out, nobody cared. There was no sound, no nothing. It was like crickets. And there was another time in the night where it was just crickets, and I'll let you know when we get there. You can mute me
again. I'm gonna say one more thing about this. Renee Young was really putting over the Bellas on the announce table tonight, talking about how successful they were in business and in all their other endeavors. So, yeah, and then, of course, T-Rock Suntonium, who was at the event tonight, concurring, saying that the Bellas are extremely over. And so, indeed, they are. They must be, obviously. So, moving on to the next segment, we had, let's see here, a Connor's Cure presentation. Let's go straight to T-Rock on this one. What did you think of this, and how long did it seem like it took forever?
Yeah, it didn't just seem like it took forever. It did take forever. Because they went to break, and the entire roster walked out. Right, and then during the commercial, they sang Happy Birthday to Stephanie because it was her birthday, so they made us all sing Happy Birthday to Stephanie. And then the kids came out,
sweet.
They gave him the belt. And that black dude, they should hire him because he can talk better than most of the roster, frankly. He cut a really good promo, and he was concise. And, yeah, the kids really, the fans really love that. So, oh yeah, and they love Renee in the beginning too. So when she came out, because Cole comes out and Graves comes out, and then Renee comes out in the beginning, you know, before the show starts. And
right.
Cole got booed, Graves got booed, and Renee got cheered. So that's just a little extra. But yes, it was the longest damn segment ever, and.
The longest damn segment ever. Okay, on that note, what we're going to do is we're going to take the longest break ever. No, I'm kidding, folks. We are going to take a break, though, and we will be right back after these words on Monday Night Fallout with your host tonight, only for tonight, Minister of Sinister. We'll be right back after these words. Oh, shit, what the hell? Are you kidding me? We are going to continue, seemingly. T-Rock, are you there?
Yeah, you can't find a commercial.
No, it's not that. I got everything on play, and nothing is playing, man. Nothing is fucking playing. Are you kidding me?
I'll give it like 30. It'll happen as we're talking, so we'll just continue.
How does this happen, ladies and gentlemen?
I don't know how it happened, but that's just what happened. Why don't you I don't know.
I'll tell you how it happened.
Somebody said you're running the show. Somebody said it was
exactly
funny that that Roman finally lost the belt to somebody who deserved it because the kid got the Universal Championship.
Who was it?
I don't know, but somebody said it, and the "You Deserve a Chance" were loud for those kids when they. I don't know if you heard it on TV. We're still talking about the Connors Cure segment, but then
no,
I was wondering
no, I did
like.
Not.
The "You Deserve It." They might have been during commercial break or something like that, but the crowd was just eating that up. Are you sure you pressed play?
Yeah, I did. You know, I know exactly what happened. Now, for some bizarre reason, my internet went down, and I have Double L and Christian from Philly on hold. So I'm waiting for everything to reboot here. I don't know what the hell, but I've got you on the line, buddy.
All right. So before we get to them, let's. The next segment was the thing that we've seen a million times and a million times again, right? The Ascension versus Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
Yes. Yes.
And the Ascension got silence. There was nothing for them.
Nothing.
It was awful. And I'm surprised that Gable lost. Like, that came out of nowhere. So,
yeah, you know, the whole thing with the Connor and the Ascension, I was surprised that Gable lost as well. I mean, Connor goes out there and he, first of all, it looked like he had just gone through the freaking Dollar Tree, the Halloween section at Dollar Tree. He had the makeup on extra thick tonight. So that was basically the only notes I took on this one. But
I thought for sure he had. Well, yeah, obviously he had the cure, you know, Connor's cure. Obviously he found the cure.
Right.
He got around the cure.
We're trying to get back in touch here with our other panelists on the studio, and let's get back to them. Double L, your thoughts on Chad Gable with Bobby Roode versus Connor and Victor?
Well, all this is going to do... All this is going to do with Chad Gable and Bobby Roode is now, because it's been Gable wrestling, now they're going to flip it around, and Bobby Roode is going to wrestle the Ascension. And that's when we're going to start seeing, as Christian said last week, the arguing and the quibbling between Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, because WWE does not know what to do with them anymore. So that's all this did. Nothing more, nothing less. Crappy match. That's all I can say about it.
And before Christian jumps down my throat, Christian, what did you have to say about Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, Connor and Victor?
I know that somehow, some way, Chad Gable's going to be the one that turns heel out of this. I know we all want Bobby Roode, but it's going to be fucking Chad Gable, somehow, some fucking way.
There you go. Chad Gable, somehow, some fucking way. Having said that, we are going to take a commercial break now, somehow, some fucking way, and we will be right back, right after these words on the World Generation Network.
Hello, ladies.
You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no, what do you want to call it? You want to call it drinking soda, but you don't want to call it soda, because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday night? Okay. Well, you did Rippin' Fridays. You did Saturday Night Special. You did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye. Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
See my reflection change. Nothing ever stays the same. But you know the name's the game. We all know what it means. Nothing's ever.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, listen, we got done with the Chad Gable, okay? Christian says he's going to be the one that turns. And, you know, I'm not sure I disagree with him on that. It very well could be. I could see them doing that. But moving on, we had the Raw Tag Team Championships on the line tonight. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus The Revival. Freaking match was awesome, man. Very entertaining. I thought so, at least. I thought it was very entertaining. Match of the night. Very, very entertaining. The freaking Andersons are looking, the Revival, looking really good out there, man. Just holding up their own, I thought. And by the way, you can call us at 619-924-0815. And also, you can go to WrestleCorp.com for our thread in there. There's a chat going on in there, I believe. Go check it out.
Minister,
make it happen.
Minister,
yes.
I have to disagree with you from the standpoint of the end of the match when the fans were chanting, "This is awesome." From then to the end, it was good. But the rest of it was awful. The beginning part, they were the silence. The Revival, the match, this whole match up until the point where they got the "This is awesome" chant, it was silent. I was chanting, "Where's the beach ball?" And I was hoping somebody had a beach ball to put us out of our misery because it was awful. It was a heel team versus a heel team. And seriously, like, so when everybody started chanting, "This is awful," like, everybody in my section was like, "No, it's not." And so, I mean, not awful, awesome. This was awful. But it was good at the end. And the only reason why it was good is because Dolph Ziggler, that one kick out that he sold, he sold it real good. He sold it real good, where I thought for a second that the Revival was going to win. But up until that point, the crowd was dead.
Damn, the crowd was dead. T-Rock, Double L, what were your thoughts on this match? Did you enjoy it as much as I did? And do you agree with T-Rock that it was dead at the beginning? Well, he was there.
Was.
He has to know.
Yeah, I mean, it was dead at the beginning. I mean, you're going from watching Ziggler and McIntyre defend their titles against the likes of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins to defending against the Revival, who nobody gives a shit about. Nobody cared about this match. It was just to put a tag team match in place for the night. That's it. So my problem with this whole thing is they've now officially taken the tag team titles, which,
I'm
scary to say this, was beginning to gain some momentum under the B team, and now you're putting it on a stable where they have to do shitty tag team championship matches with shitty teams because they have to keep them active. So to me, this match, it wasn't worth anything to me. You knew they weren't going to lose the titles. I mean, Tony P is right. You know, at the end there, the Ziggler selling that kick out was really good. Other than that, I mean, just the Revival can't match up with Ziggler. And that's really the long and the short of it. You know, so it's, I don't know. It wasn't really worth anything to me.
T-Rock, so at what point in the match would you say minute-wise that that happened when they started chanting, "This is awesome"? Was it midway?
You didn't hear that? Did you hear that on the TV? Did you hear when they started "This is awesome" chant?
I heard the "This is awesome" chant, but I don't remember at what point of the match it started because it was a long match.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was towards the end of the near fall when the Revival was the people thought that the Revival were going to win. For one split second, I thought the Revival was going to win, and that's when the match turned around. Now, I can also safely say that Drew McIntyre, like every time he came in the ring, the crowd woke up. So Drew McIntyre has it. He has, there's something about him that the crowd is really into. Oh, biggest pop of the night. Bobby Lashley, for God's sake. Biggest pop of the night by far. Bobby Lashley. You know why? Because he's from Colorado. He's from Denver. Biggest pop of the night. Serious.
Wow.
Super
Bobby
serious.
Bobby fucking Lashley. Who would have thought? Bobby fucking Lashley. Biggest pop of the night. You know what? I did hear that, though. Did he stay after, or are you one of those people that just gets up and fucking leaves? Or, you know, did your chick and son go to the bathroom and you stayed there checking it out for a little bit? Did Bobby Lashley hang out at the end and go shake hands with everybody?
Yes, that was what the cheer. Yeah, that's what the cheers were. I'm sure on the promo you heard a big ovation and a cheer, and that was Bobby Lashley leaving. So when he was up at the top of the ramp, because they did a promo right after, right? It was a promo between Seth and McIntyre, right? Was that the promo?
Right.
And in the middle, I'm sure you heard a loud cheer and ovation. That was Bobby Lashley leaving with Leo Rush. So you were absolutely right. He stayed. And he was over, biggest pop of the night. But that's because he's a hometown hero. All right, mute me again.
Mute him again, he says. Thanks, and I'll have another. Okay, so then we get back from commercial break. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we get back from commercial. Wait a minute. Oh, hold on. Christian from Philly, yes. Close it out.
Let me ask Double O a question about the Revival match. Is it me, or were they fucking uncoordinated tonight?
Big time. It's like I said before, it's like they couldn't keep up.
Holy
is what it looked
fuck.
Like to me. Yeah.
They were so fucking bad tonight, dude.
Who was so bad tonight?
The Revival. They were so fucking uncoordinated,
the fuck out of here. I saw them doing moves. They were fucking slingshot suplexes and all kinds of crazy shit. How could you guys not have thought this match was entertaining?
When Ziggler did the face drop, you know what Billy Gunn used to do? Fucking Dash Wilder almost drops him on his fucking head. They were so fucking bad.
Damn, they were that bad. How bad were they? You have a joke for
They were so bad, they almost gave Dolph Ziggler another fucking concussion.
Oh, come on.
Am I right,
check
Double
it out.
Yeah, I can't deny it. I mean, there was a big miscue there. It looked like Ziggler could have been seriously fucking hurt.
I must have missed that one. I must have missed that one. But that was the wrong sound effect, though. Needless to say, 6199-240815. Give us a call if you want to join in the conversation, that is. So then we come back from break. And ladies and gentlemen, Elias. T-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, Elias comes out, welcomes the Kevin Owens show to the ring, and they have the whole thing with Leo Rush, which led to a match. Elias with Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley with Leo Rush, and the match had the winner by disqualification, Bobby Lashley. Your thoughts on Leo Rush checking him out live, T-Rock? Was the entertainment...
Leo Rush, yes.
and he's not quite nearly as short as he looks on TV. I mean, he looks like a midget, and everybody laughed at the high chair seat thing. That was pretty funny. And,
yeah.
we all knew the Kevin Owens show was coming out because we saw them put the stuff on, but I am very disappointed that we did not get an Elias. We didn't get to say walk with Elias. We didn't.
Rob.
They did not say walk with Elias. He didn't say all he said was John Cena knows what WWE stands for, and then he kept going on and on. And he didn't even say the walk with Elias. He didn't say shut your mouths. He didn't really insult the town. All he said was Denver is not worthy of a concert, which is BS. Because we are so worthy of a concert. And Kevin Owens, but in the end, like you said, Lashley was just so over because he was foam. They should do everything with Lashley in Colorado. Everything they should ever do, they should do in Colorado because he'll get cheered.
Well, I have to say though, when Lashley came out with the old Rush, you know, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to Bobby Lashley, because I have found myself on this program and also on Fatal 4-Way Radio, which you can go back and listen to on demand on the World Generation Podcast Network. I have to say, he kills every fucking segment that he's in. Now all of a sudden he's got Leo Rush, and I have to say, gentlemen, I was looking forward to Leo Rush tonight and checking out the segment with Bobby Lashley, no less. Double L, were you looking forward to it, Leo Rush tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something that we've been talking about since Lashley came back, is you take the mic out of his hand and just let him beat people. If you want to give him, a front man like Leo Rush, that's fine. Hype him up, that's cool. Don't let Lashley do it for himself. We've been saying that from the start. And so they finally figured that out. I think Leo Rush is perfect for it. I mean, he's funny, he's entertaining. I'm a little annoyed with the whole ha-ha thing he does after every single line he says. But he's entertaining to watch because you don't know. Is he going to all of a sudden flip over somebody, or is he going to, fly, baseball slide into the ring and shoot out the other side? Or, you don't know. It's kind of fun. It's different.
Yeah,
it's
I
different.
Like it.
That's what I like.
Now, let's get to the resident Raw breaker down, resident hater, if you will, Christian. What about Leo Rush, man? Are you liking? What can you tell us about Leo Rush? Because I know you're a big fan and you watch a lot. You said he's from 205 Live, right?
Yes, he's from 205 Live.
What else can you tell us?
He was originally in NXT as a wrestler, but then for some reason they moved him to 205 Live for unknown reasons. I still have no specific intel about why they did it. But now he's the manager for Bobby Lashley, and I'm going to say once again, this hurts Lashley because now the manager is going to get even more over than the one that they're trying to put over. So you know what? Lashley is still fucked.
Ah, yes. And, of course, you can hear Christian say those very same words on my show last week. He said the exact same thing. Leo Rush comes in, and he's going to outshine Bobby Lashley, and I can see that happening. I hate to say it, but shit, I can see it happening. And it will be doomsday for freaking Lashley again. T-Rock, let's get commentary from T-Rock on this. Do you think that could happen?
Is it going to be another
Ricardo Rodriguez situation?
Well, and the biggest problem with Ricardo Rodriguez was they took him away from Alberto Del Rio. Like, if they would have just left him with Del Rio, everything would have been fine, and Del Rio still would have been great, but they can't take that. And now, I don't know if Leo Rush is as over yet, but I don't think
not
he's going to ever – no, and I think that the thing that they need to do is if he does get that over or starts overshadowing Lashley, is have him turn on Bobby Lashley and join someone else. Have him – people can boo him. I think that's the only way that you get away from that. I think you got a couple more months of that. I think you got a little bit more of Leo Rush. I think he's perfect for Lashley, who can't talk. And I liked his whole
the whole spiel he did about Lashley when he first came out. He's like, you know, Lashley's this and Lashley's that and this. So here's my man. Bob, you know, I really enjoyed that. And, yeah, him leaping around at the end was always fun to watch.
He is the 23-year-old pound of gold or whatever the hell. He's definitely a lot of fun to watch, man. And I can't wait to see what they do with this guy moving forward. But, yeah, man, that's going to suck when they, you know, cause that's going to happen. They're going to end up taking him away from Lashley at some point. But hopefully Lashley can benefit from this and, you know, get his own mic skills or something else. Maybe he's holding out for somebody else. I don't know. But Nia Jax with Ember Moon and Alicia Fox with Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. And I have to say how disappointed I was. Alexa Bliss was overly clothed tonight, had way too much clothing on tonight. It was terrible. Let's get to T-Rock on this. Alexa Bliss wearing way too much clothing tonight, T-Rock.
Way too much clothing, and Mickie James has a flat ass. Like, I never noticed it before, but you could tell tonight that her ass is a little flat, and Alexa there. But I'm telling you, man.
Oh, my God.
Nia
Who
Jax,
the hell cares?
We all do. But Nia Jax got a... Nia Jax got a huge pop, and she was when they were doing the they were doing some dance thing where they were showing them, they show that on TV, all the dance things from the past and all the celebs. Did they do that package or was that just for us?
What celebs were on it?
They did a package where they showed all the celebrities and they were dancing and doing, well, whatever, the music was playing in the darkness. Nia Jax was dancing during the darkness before when they, you know, when they were going to commercial or something like that. And
no, we didn't
really
see
that. That's all I got to say about that. It's like I knew that Alicia Fox was going to get murdered, and she did. And two appearances, right? Two appearances of Foxy tonight. Double duty, if it were.
Double duty, the Fox. Yes, the Fox was on double duty tonight. So, but you know what, man? I think she's the longest reigning diva right now. I think she's been there the longest out of all of them. I'm not sure on that, but I think I'll have to get a fact check on that. Christian, your thoughts on Nia Jax with Ember Moon versus Alicia Fox and Alexa Bliss, and Mickie James, that is.
I really don't care about this match, and I don't care about any of the women that are here. First fact, Alicia Fox and Natalya are tied to being the longest women there. But I want to ask Double O a question, and this is the million-dollar question.
Christian apparently has taken over the show.
Where in the fuck is the build-up for the Evolution pay-per-view?
It has completely died out.
Where
do you know what, guys?
Yeah,
because
they've got the big show coming up in Australia.
After that, they're gonna they'll start pushing it heavy. But right now, it's Triple H, the Undertaker, and there was rumors the Undertaker was backstage, but apparently
yes,
he didn't
there was.
Really. And the, my
and
favorite part of the whole
thing.
Night
I was
gonna
tell you the dead man just showed up.
Triple H when Triple H said
there.
When Triple H said I already sold my soul or something like that, like that was the best line of the night. When he said I've already sold my soul, like that was, he sold that real well. But I think that the Evolution, they're gonna start once the Super Showdown is over, and there you go. Like, and then we're gonna be inundated with women's matches.
Yes. And Alexa Bliss, too much clothing?
Well, you know, I'm curious as to what is the extent of Alexa Bliss's injury, because she was supposed to be Braun Strowman's partner on Mixed Match Challenge,
yes,
which she is not his partner anymore. They said it was due to injury. I mean, you know, and they've got to save her up for Women's Evolution because she's facing Trish Stratus. Maybe there's more to her injury, or maybe she had her boobs redone, or you know what I mean? Something is keeping her out of the spotlight. But this is what pisses me off about this match tonight. Okay, I get it. Nia Jax is back. Whatever. What the fuck was Ember Moon doing in Nia Jax's corner? Why are they not pushing Ember fucking Moon?
Oh,
I
know.
It boggles my mind. Why is she
jobbing
with Nia Jax?
The ball with her.
Big time.
Well,
that's what pissed me off, and that overshadowed the entire match for me. I didn't give a shit about anything else because of that. What's up, Christian?
She's the Asuka. She's the Raw version of Asuka right now. That's
oh, God damn it.
Yeah, you're damn right. Absolutely right.
Oh, and that pisses me off what they have done with Asuka, too. God damn it. It's a fucking shame. And Ember Moon
is
just
gonna, they're going to change. I'm telling you. Once Evolution comes, they're gonna rebuild it. I'm telling you, the tag, there's gonna be a women's tag title. They're gonna announce that the Raw after the Super Show, they're gonna be like the Evolution, and it's gonna be a big, like, that's gonna be the main thing for the Evolution show, is the tag team tournament thing. They're gonna do probably like you have like three matches. They'll have the because they have the Mae Young Classic ending there, right? They have the final of that, and they'll have a tag women's tag tournament. They'll have three matches at that pay-per-view. They'll crown a new women's tag champion, and then you got the nostalgia matches. And I'm telling you, Ember Moon is going to be tagging with somebody, and Asuka, who's Asuka tagging with? Glow, Naomi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it said on the card that Asuka's going to face Ember Moon at the pay-per-view one-on-one.
They could, I mean, I guess, but I don't see that. Maybe brand versus brand, right? Like Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah. For ratings, for a fucking ratings boost, I guess, because they're milking a dead cow at this point. They're beating a dead horse.
And nobody's going to
beat a dead horse.
I don't know if anybody's going to. How much can you beat Sasha Banks, really, before she's dead already? You know, I mean, you're going to.
I think she's injured too. Because they pulled her out.
I saw something on her being injured too, but I didn't get confirmation on it.
Well, she has to be because she hasn't been on TV for 2 weeks.
They pulled her out too for the mixed match challenge, and Mickie James replaced her with Lashley.
That's right.
Interesting. Very interesting, guys. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up and be out of here. How about that? So we'll be right back after these words on Monday Night Fallout, the World Generation Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, you silly kids, it's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show that determines things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on World Generation Network, tune in to Radio Renegade with your hosts, Christian from Philly and Batman. A show where they talk about missed booking opportunities, what is scenarios, what the fuck moments, and more. Radio Renegade, Saturday at 8 p.m. only on the World Generation Network. Be there.
listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Here on Monday Night Fallout with Double L, Christian from Philly, and T-Rock Plutonium, who was at the show tonight. Monday Night Raw, of course, was at the Pepsi Center in Denver. So let's see, moving on here. Oh, yeah. Was it the Shield? Was that Shield and Baron Corbin? Was that it? Holy crap.
Yeah, all right.
Wait a minute. No. We had the look at the Undertaker versus Triple H, the full promo. This is a brand new promo that they just put together and shit. That's a badass freaking promo, man. Badass promo. And but by that time, Triple H had already gone to the car. And they had already headed out, I'm thinking. Yeah, they had already headed out by then. So then the Shield made their way to the ring. And Baron Corbin with his mystery partners came out. And, of course, T-Rock had called it. He was there. He could smell it in the air. The AOP came out. So let's get his thoughts on this. The Shield versus Baron Corbin and AOP with Drake Maverick. And also, T-Rock, what did you think about the buildup or the seeds that they were I know I've been to shows in the past, many a show, and they plant those seeds and they show you the packages of what went on backstage. We had promos. We had Seth Rollins approach the Claymore guy, and talk to him about it and shit. And we had all kinds of things going on. You saw all that. So were you thinking anything was going to happen during this match? And what were your thoughts on the whole thing in general?
All right. So in the beginning of the night, I knew that it was going to be AOP because there's nobody else, right? And so AOP came out and you know, the guys behind me were like, oh, man, he called her. And I was like, yeah, I did, because I'm the head booker of the IWC, bro. I know how to book you.
Goddamn right.
So, and then when the three came out, they sat down. So I started to chant, take a seat, take a seat. But nobody started chanting with us. Nobody wanted to chant with me. Like, nobody was chanting. Like, I was starting crazy. I know. But it got raucous, man. I'm telling you, like, the crowd – this woke everybody up. I don't know if they were asleep. I fell asleep in the Drew and Ziggler match with the Revival. I went until the end. I was getting tired of that. And so it was ruckus. It was interesting. And, you know, Dean Ambrose, like, he's going to turn on them, but not yet. Like, it's not going
right.
to happen, but he does seem empty without a belt. You know what I mean? He seems like he needs some kind of title, and I think he feels left out. And I would think that McIntyre is going to turn on Ziggler sooner than later than Dean. I don't know, and I don't know about I don't know what Braun Strowman. He seems lost again in the mix. He seems like he's just there now. And the AOP, like, I mean, they fit well in that match because they're big guys, and they finally had, like, a good featured match. But I still see just two drunk Mexicans wrestling with the midget. Like, that's all I see. I can't get past that. But I think it was a good ending to the show. And the funny thing is, it was the first time the Shield was together. Except the last time, because the last time I was at Raw, last year, actually, the Shield reformed, And now the Shield came back and had their first match together as a unit. So I thought that was pretty cool, and that's all I have to say. And that's all I have to say about that.
You're a smart motherfucker.
Listen, here's what I think. I still think that it's going to happen where Dolph Ziggler is going to have his day. And he's going to say, I told you. I was the one. I've been saying this shit on this show, on my show, on every show. I told you. He's going to have his day, and it's going to happen after Dean Ambrose joins forces with them. And it's not going to happen. It might even happen at the Super Showdown. Who knows? But then shortly after that, because I still believe that Braun Strowman is going to walk out champion at the Super Showdown. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be Braun Strowman as champion, and then the Claymore or the other guys as tag team champions. And then you're going to have Dean Ambrose join forces, and he's going to capture Seth Rollins' title, and they're going to be forced to be reckoned with. I think that's where it's headed, unless, I mean, they teased the Shield joining forces with freaking McIntyre and have a solid. In fact, McIntyre teased that himself. Let's get to double L on that. You saw that happen with McIntyre. What are your thoughts on McIntyre joining the Shield? And also, if you want to comment on the segment that we saw, please do.
Okay. Well, I mean, first and foremost, and this segment was pretty good. I'm with T-Rock. I knew it was going to be AOP. They've been pushing the last couple weeks. They're the biggest dudes on the roster. You knew it would be them.
You're a smart motherfucker.
That is what it is. They could honestly do this either way. I think the cheapest way would be to have McIntyre join the Shield, because the Shield is the Shield. I mean, that they've been the Shield as they are. You know, I mean, you don't. I mean, we've seen things like Heidenreich join. Animal in wearing hockey. We saw how long that kind of shit lasted. And so I don't see it happening. I still see a divide eventually between McIntyre and Ziggler. We've been talking about from the start. I do see Strowman taking the belt. I could see the big breakup of the Shield being finally Ambrose gets his chance to IC title against Rollins. It's going to start off as a right on, bro. Best man wins. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Blah, 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 blah. But once Ambrose wins it, that's when I see him going to join forces with the Universal Champion Braun Strowman, the Tag Team Champions Ziggler and McIntyre. Then they have all the belts. That's kind of, to me, it makes a little more sense, but I could be crazy. But I don't know. I'm curious to see how all this shit goes down. They're actually starting to create some intrigue. I can respect that.
Let's get to Christian. First, your thoughts on the Shield versus Baron Corbin and AOP with Drake Maverick. And then, secondly, your thoughts on the conversation that we're just now having.
Okay, first, I want to ask Double O a question. This involves Finn Balor. Yes, man, because this is about... Is it me, or every time Finn Balor has a rivalry, it abruptly ends?
Every time what?
Who?
Every time Finn Balor has a rivalry, it suddenly just ends. When
please, will you stop?
It just suddenly dies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's almost like the creative is being more creative with his rival and finding new things to do with him than they are with Finn. Because it almost makes me wonder if Finn looked at him and said, guys, do whatever the fuck you want with me. I don't even care. I just want to be here. It's almost kind of like that's what he's done.
All right. So to answer the question about the whole discussion, I think what's going to happen is going to be a double turn where they're going to switch sides. Dean Ambrose joins with Ziggler and Strowman, but McIntyre joins with Rollins and Reigns. I think they're going to switch places. And also, this is not a prediction, but it's a theory. I think the six-man tag is going to end in a no contest because Lesnar is going to cause the no contest. I think Lesnar is going to interfere in the six-man tag and cause a no contest. Just for the setup for the Crown Jewel match.
That's interesting. T-Rock,
not a bad
you'd like
point.
To add to that?
I don't know about Brock Lesnar interfering in the six-man tag. It's a very interesting idea that they're going to switch, but I think that the Shield is very over, and they're selling a lot of merchandise. I mean, they have every city has a Shield shirt. They had a Denver Shield shirt, and so every city now has their own shirt. So I believe that they're going to keep the Shield going for a while. They'll keep teasing the dissension. But I'm telling you, I think it's going to go the other way. I think that the dogs of war are going to implode on themselves. I think that, you know, unless something changes. But I don't know. Like I said, each town has a name on the shirt that says the Shield. And there's a lot of towns. And that's a lot of money to be had. And I don't know if Vince is willing to not accept people's money. So.
Let's see. Squad 7 NXT in the chat on WrestleCorp.com. And if you're not there, you should get there right now. Right now. Shame on you for not fucking being there. And I'm talking to me personally. But that's something else, man. And I'm telling you, I need my medication. But I digress. The Shields. This is Squad 7 NXT. At WrestleCorp.com. The Shield versus Baron Corbin and Authors of Pain was not a bad six-man tag match. They really tried to tease that Dean Ambrose would turn tonight, but it didn't happen. However, I can see Dean Ambrose turning on the Shield in the future, just not right now. Yeah, I think we can all pretty much see that happening. We pretty much called it from day one since his return, when he came in as the Gerber baby. Pissed off Gerber baby, but the Gerber baby nonetheless. And Grand Raw, Mum Raw Grandmaster was also in the chat. Good friend, also Mum Raw. Mickey
the
James,
World Generation Champion. Don't forget, he's the World Generation
yes.
Champion, too, don't forget.
T Rock, I'm a correction. Thank you very much, T Rock. And yes, Mum Raw, the World Generation Podcast champion, or the World Generation champion. He's just the World Generation champion, Devin. But Mickie James has had a flat ass since she came back, commenting, of course, on Mickie James. And you know what, Mickie James, I have noticed her ass is a little flat. But I'm not going to say that I would motorboat, you know, but, you know, I mean, she's still Mickie James at the end. You got to treat her with respect, much respect, and much love, but I digress. So, yeah, get to the chat, WrestleCorp.com, every week. It's a lot of fun there. Let's see. Where are we at in the match?
We're on Final Thoughts. Yeah.
We are on Final Thoughts. T-Rock wants to close it out already. Because we're on Final Thoughts. So let's get to Final Thoughts and
rating.
And rating. And rating. T-Rock, let's start with you. Final Thought and rating. T-Rock, who was live at the show tonight. At the Pepsi Center.
All right.
Your final thoughts and
so,
rating.
My final thoughts. First, I had bought tickets to a section that apparently the WWE decided to tarp off. So I got upgraded, and we were right next to the camera on the camera side, like 10 rows up. It was sweet. There were not many open seats. Usually on camera side, there's
a lot
of open
like
I was right next
table?
To – No, I was up next where the camera is that watches the ring. That camera,
I was
right next to that. I was on that side. So I got a good view
Holy
of everything.
Shit.
And it they upgraded me. I was supposed to be behind in the far back corner behind the Tron, but WWE decided to tarp it off and there you go.
Nice.
But it was pretty sold out. It was. I think it was a legit sellout. Everybody, the crowd was going crazy for the Shield, and the end. I'm telling you, they were dead for many things. They were dead for the revival match up until Ziggler kicked out.
Ugh.
They were dead for that. They were dead for they were dead for the Gable Ascension thing. The Riot Squad got no pop whatsoever. Nobody cared. I thought Bobby Lashley, like I said, by far was the most over. People were pissed at Elias for not letting us play along. Finn Balor was okay, but Bayley got far more of a pop than he did, and that's very strange. And the show overall, I don't think anything really happened that much. I mean, they did have that through line through, so that was okay. Their first match was Jinder versus whoever, which again was another one of those snooze fests, I guess. Finn, yeah. There. So I'll give it a 6 out of 10 because I was there and I liked it. It was fun to be there, but definitely the crowd woke up at the end because everybody was just going crazy, as you could probably hear on the radio. So those are my thoughts, but I'm going to close myself out and go because I have other things to do. And Minister, you get the other.
One more question. I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Your ticket price tonight, okay, versus the upgrade. Had you had the ticket where you were supposed to sit at versus the upgrade, okay, was it worth it
so,
to go?
Well, listen,
you know what I'm trying to say?
My tickets were they were $20 a piece, and then it came to $90. Because of three tickets, but then it was $30 in fees because, of course.
Right.
But the seats I was in, probably $100, $150 seats each. Like, I'm telling you, it was a nice upgrade, yes. So that's why I give it a 6 out of 10. But no Ronda Rousey tonight. No Undertaker didn't show up. There was, you know, no John Cena. Yeah, he was rumored to be there. I thought Cena would maybe show up. The Bellas. Even though the crowd likes them, I hate them. So, yeah. 6 out of 10. But I'm T-Rock Plutonium. Why? Because it's what makes time travel possible. If you smell what T-Rock is cooking, and I'll let you finish the show, Minister. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And tune in next week. Minister, you close it out with Christian and Double L. And
thank
I'll
you
see
very
you on the
much.
Flip side. All right.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank Mr. Plutonium very much for allowing me to host the flagship show on the World Generation Network. I do appreciate it very much. I appreciate the tap on the shoulder. It means so much to me. Double L, anything? Close yourself out, my friend. And your final thoughts. Your final thoughts on the show.
Yeah.
And
your
rating.
It was an interesting show. Wasn't anything exciting. I mean, they're trying to plant some seeds of certain things here and there, which I can respect that. But it really wasn't anything that huge. But it wasn't terrible either. I mean, there wasn't a moment where I was sitting there going, what the fuck am I watching this for? Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 just because there wasn't – I mean, the matches themselves honestly weren't that fantastic. You know, in general, I did like kind of the ruckus ending, kind of leaving a lot of, okay, what's going to happen next? I like that. So I'm going to go 5 out of 10, you know, so it definitely wasn't bad. But I'm going to also sign myself out just because I've been working in the sun all day and I'm fucking exhausted and barely able to keep my eyes open. Thanks to everybody for listening. The guys on WrestleCorp, you know that we love you guys, Mumra, Squad 7 NXT, and we love seeing you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Listening to Minister Show on Thursday, listen to Christian from Philly Show on Saturday. Are we doing a show after the Australia show, or are we just going to let that go, do you think?
We're going to talk about that one coming up, I guess, in the next episode.
All right.
With T-Rock, yeah, for sure. But, man, it's great having you. It's great having you on the staff, man. I appreciate you being with us.
Love being here. Thank you, guys. I am Double L, the only true lover boy in the IFC, and your Legends champion. Peace out, everybody. Have an awesome night.
Ladies and gentlemen, lover boy, legend. He does. He makes all the ladies scream somehow. Or is it cream? I'm not sure, but he does it somehow. Christian from Philly, your final thoughts on the show and your rating, and close yourself out, my friend.
All right, so I'm going to give tonight's show a 4 out of 10, mainly because of one fucking wrestler, and that's Finn Balor. Finn Balor has become the biggest fucking chump in wrestling history. He has to have help from Bayley, of all people, to help him win a fucking match and win from a fucking roll-up. I think Finn is one of the worst parts of Raw. Like, he keeps smiling, smirking. So, yeah, he's the reason why I gave Raw tonight 4 out of 10. But catch me on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern for Radio Renegades with me and Batman. And catch me this Thursday on Fatal 4 Radio with Minister Joe Bates and Batman at 6 p.m. Eastern. See you later, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly. And I have to tell you guys. If you have not heard his show, they are all about getting into it, man. If you're a wrestling purist out there and you want to talk the real shit, check it out. I usually put his show up early where you can go in and you can look at it and you can see what they're going to be talking about. And you can go in and research it yourself, and then you're prepared and you can have a great discussion with these guys. It hasn't happened yet, but we're pulling for that to happen. So do your part. Listen to the show or search the show and find out what they're going to talk about. Go research what they're going to talk about. I mean, they talk about promos. Like this week they had the promo with The Undertaker. That was a great freaking promo. Christian hated it. Personally, I loved it, man. It was Undertaker with Chris Jericho, and it ended up with Undertaker telling Chris Jericho that he had more freaking shower time than Chris Jericho had ring time. Because Jericho was just a pup back in the day, but still. It was good stuff, man. Stuff like that comes up on Christian's show. So definitely listen to that. Also listen to Rank You Very Much on Fridays. And listen to Mike Santor Tuesday nights. That's a hilarious freaking show. If you're not listening to that, please do. You will not regret it. And you can also learn something with topics like, every day they go through the rundown of, not every day, but every Tuesday they go through the rundown of what happened this day. Okay? So you're going to get some of that. You're going to get stay or go. And these are fucked up situations, whether you're going to stay or you're going to go. It's just madness, plain madness. So listen to that, definitely. Also, the Sunday nights on the World Generation Network, you have to tune in. Rising. No, really. You have to tune into that. It's the greatest talk show right here on the World Generation Network.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary?
Something really scary?
You want to see something really scary?
How can you not be intrigued when you listen to some shit like that? I mean, the show is very intriguing, and you're definitely going to learn something. You may agree, you may disagree, but you're going to learn something, and if you join in a conversation, it's really fun. I can promise you that. Listen to all of our shows here on the World Generation Network. We certainly do enjoy having you, being a part of us. And ladies and gentlemen, I am Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, keep it sexy. And we'll see you again next time, right here on Monday Night Fallout.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.